Look at you. We had already made plans to get a little circle of chairs up here, you know, and talk to one another this morning. Thank you so much. I am so impressed by the desire to come to worship and to praise God's name. And thank you for being here this morning. It's a beautiful day to praise the Lord. Amen? It is. It is. And better to praise him here than outdoors right now. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, I love names. I love to find the derivation of names, what the family tradition of a name means. It's very interesting to me. And I'm sort of intrigued by names. My full name, for those of you who don't know it, is Norman David Sanford. I was named after my uncle Norman, who was killed in the Battle of Normandy and born not too many years thereafter, and the family had an easier time calling me by my middle name. Norman means victor. Yeah, soldier. David means king. Sanford means disregard the previous two names. Amen. Amen. I love names. I love what's in a name. My mother was known by my kids and their kids as Grandma Arf. An insult, you say? No. We used to spend weekends, when we were together, able to be together as a family playing pinochle. My mom never had a real good run of good hands. And so my dad, in his weird sense of humor, which I inherited, would say, "Ethel, that hand is awful," which means it's arful. And that was moved down to three letters, and my kids and grandkids had called her Grandma Arf, never knew why. All because of just a dumb thing my father said. But names are interesting, aren't they? It's so cool to find out where we come from and what our traditions are through our names. Understand that this year you could get points for various names of affection and love and on Valentine's Day. There was a broadcast on that. Apparently Snookums got you 26 points. Good old Snookums. Honey Bunch got you 12 points. Honey Bunches of Oats will cost you $3.99. I found out over the years my name is Really, and I love that name. When I do or say something, like I always did or said something, Karen would look at me and say, "Really?" So it's a great name. I love the name Really. I love the names of Jesus. You know, boy, have you ever seen the poster in which they've made a design of all of the names of Christ that we find in his word? Unbelievable. It seems like there are hundreds of them. You know, fairest of 10,000, bright and morning star, rose of Sharon, mighty counselor, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, you know, Alpha and Omega, Lord and Savior. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I love the names of Jesus, and you'll if you've been around a while, you find that I use them a lot, because he is indeed one amazing Savior whom we can't describe with only one name. Isn't that right? We cannot describe him by using just one name. And that's where our English language falls short. And today I want to look for a little bit into the name of the person we call the third person of the Trinity. And that doesn't sound right to me, because God is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God. And so to say he's the third person makes it sound like he sort of came in afterwards or whatever. And that's not the case at all. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, but the one whom we often forget and often sort of push to the side in our love for Jesus and our wanting to follow God's will in our lives. And yet the Holy Spirit is the one who makes all that happen for us. And I want to talk about him a little bit this morning, if that's okay. And if it's not okay, I'm talking about him anyway, so it's okay. Turn with me to John 14. We're just going to use three verses to start. The 15th, 16th, and 17th verses. I want to unpack those a little bit and then see how God's Holy Spirit comes into our lives. John 14, the 15th through the 17th verses. Jesus says, and this is such a wonderful passage of Scripture, because this is a time when he was preparing to go to the Father. He was preparing to go to the cross. And through these passages, through these chapters in John, he is unloading upon his disciples and offering his disciples all of his wisdom, all of the things that are going to happen, and yet all of the things that he promises that he will not leave or forsake them. And he says here in the 15th verse, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Right off the bat, a task for us, a command for us. If you love me, keep my commands, obey my commands, follow after the life that I want you to live and nothing else, if you love me. John is saying to us here, Jesus is saying to us here that love is found in obedience. We don't think of it that way. We think of love as this sort of feeling word, but it's not a word of feeling or emotion. Love is found in obedience. I could tell my folks I loved them all day long, but then I would disobey, you know, do something entirely against their will for me. And the words that I had said about loving them are sort of wasted. Or I could say to my wife how much I loved her night and day. But when I did things to get in the way of our marriage or our lives or our relationship with the Lord, when I did things that were of selfish will and not God's will, those words of love sort of fell on empty places. Love is found in obedience. Jesus is saying, John is saying right here, when you obey the way the Lord wants you to live, when you obey his commands, when you obey the things that he wants you to do and the attitude that he wants you to have, then there's a promise. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Wow. Jesus uses a word for the Holy Spirit just four times in his teaching. And it's a Greek word. It's parakletos. Everybody say it together. Parakletos. Cool. I just wanted to sound really smart for a moment. Parakletos in the Greek encompasses all of who the Holy Spirit is. Unfortunately, our English language doesn't allow that to happen. So in all of our translations, we find the Holy Spirit described in different ways. He's called Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Encourager, Spirit of Truth, Advocate, Friend, Ally. If you look at, if you're not using one of the Pew Bibles this morning, look in your Bible at this verse and also verse 25. And you'll see that there are different words used in all of the translations. And that's good. But none of those words can fully encompass who the Holy Spirit is. Because our English language is so limited in that way. But in the Greek, when Jesus said to his disciples, "I am sending the Parakletos to you," they knew that this was the whole package. They knew that this is the one who would do everything that was needed to allow them, to keep them motivated, to keep them in line with Jesus, even when he wasn't there. He said, "I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be leaving you shortly. But I will send the Parakletos to you, and he will be everything that I am in your heart." And that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's all of Jesus given to us to live within us, to move with us through our days, to carry us through the rough places, for sure. But some of the names that we use for the Holy Spirit don't quite match up. In the original language, or in the original translation of English, the King James, we find, I think it's Comforter. Yeah, I will send the Comforter. I picture this big blanket coming from the Lord. Does he comfort us in our times of sadness? Absolutely. Does he embrace us when we're having difficulties? Absolutely. But that's not what Comforter meant in the original English translation. Comforter comes from the Latin comfortus. Fortis meaning fort, meaning strength, meaning courage. It means coming alongside someone to help them be brave, to help them be courageous. I will send you the Comforter. He will come alongside you to help you be courageous to live for me. A little bit different than a blanket, but understandable. We have to use the words that we have. And when he says, I will send the Counselor, We think of sitting in a room with somebody and they're saying, tell me about your childhood. How did all this happen to you? And he does that for sure. He's with us through our struggles. He's with us through our past, present, and future. But when you look at the original translation of counselor, we're talking legal. We're talking someone who comes alongside another person to help them to be victorious in a legal situation, or to help them gain knowledge in a legal situation. A counselor, as we would call a lawyer or a judge, a counselor. And there's helper, and there's encourager, and there's spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Not only just because we know Jesus is always true, and the Holy Spirit will carry that truth, but truth here means God's word, the spirit of God's word, helping us to understand and to know what God is saying to us through his word. Isn't that cool? Holy Spirit's got quite a job to do. I like the new NIV. For those of you who don't like, I don't like some of it, but I like the way they use the I forgot what translation now, but another translation that uses advocate. I think that covers a lot. The Holy Spirit is your advocate and my advocate. He comes alongside. When we see the word paracletus, para means coming alongside. If you need a paramedic, you're going to get someone who's trained in medicine to come alongside you and help you in times of medical emergency. When you need a paralegal, it's someone who comes alongside and helps someone who is in need of legal services. When you need a parachute, that's something else. But all of these names of the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't cover it, does it? All of these names we try in our limited human English language to come up with. And all Jesus had to say was Paracletus, and the disciples knew what he meant. They knew that the Holy Spirit is everything that they would need. The Holy Spirit would infill them and guide them and give them what they needed to face each day. That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. Because he is for you also. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you already have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because salvation comes with an extra bonus gift, and that's the infilling of the Spirit. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But Paracletos, all that he is, all that the Holy Spirit is, all who he is for us and to us, sent to encourage and instruct and strengthen and sent to maintain the presence of Jesus in our lives. Can you imagine where we would be if Jesus lived and died and rose again and say, okay, we're saved, see ya, I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. And if he hadn't sent one to help us in our humanness, where would we be? We'd be falling apart even more than we do now sometimes. But instead he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you forlorn. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live within you, and he will be my presence in your life. What an amazing gift from God. And I bring this to you this morning just because we often concentrate on one part of the Trinity, one person of the Trinity, to sort of forgetfulness of our forgetting of others. And God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all of them work together, just as all of them worked together to create all of what we know as the magnificence of creation, the ends of the earth, the galaxies, everything that has been created. All of them worked together to create that. And yet all of them worked together to give you life in Christ. I hope that makes the hairs on your arm stand on end this morning. Because that is an awesome, awesome thing to think about. That the same God who did it all in creation, who did it all in getting us to where we are now as a world, who did it all in sending his only Son, himself in human form, to live and to die and to rise again and to fill us with his Spirit, that same God just wants you to live a rich and victorious life in him. And that's who the Holy Spirit is all about. The presence of Jesus in us, duplicating and sustaining Jesus' work communicating the truth of God to our hearts and our minds and our spirits, helping us to hold on to victorious living instead of defeat. I want to share a story with you that I didn't know whether I should share it because it makes me look like a wuss. But you're already there, so it's okay. You already know that. And I hope you don't think I talk too much about my dear wife Karen, but I do, and because she is always on my mind and in my heart. We had a great marriage. We had an amazing friendship. We were ministry partners in music and in pastoral ministry. Some of the churches I served, she was sort of almost an assistant pastor, even though that's not what, you know, she would never take that title. But we had an amazing, amazing relationship, and not without its problems, believe me. That's where I learned my name was really. I learned that often, too, actually. But when Karen went to be with the Lord, and it's almost 3 years now, and it feels like yesterday. When she went to be with the Lord, I suddenly realized, wow, I don't know how I can face the next day. Because when you have a best friend and a wife and a ministry partner and the person you've been honored to be caregiver for so many years, it's losing four all at once. And I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, I can't do this. And I still say that sometimes. I just can't do this, Lord. And yet every morning, I got up and I got dressed and I came to work and I found the joy of the Lord during that day and was able to do hopefully some ministry during these months in my past. Why? Because Jesus said, you have me. You have me in the person of the Holy Spirit within you to give you victory in the face of the worst things of your life. You have me within you in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit to make each day possible for you. You don't think the Holy Spirit works in the lives of the believers? Just take a step back and you'll see how he's worked in your life, even more than mine probably, in many, many, many ways. What an amazing gift. And when you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you are the only group, if you know him this morning, you're among the only group that can receive the Holy Spirit. Because he only comes to those who know the Lord. To whom Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. Be obedient in your love to me. And he says a little ways further on, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And it was during Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to his disciples when they were gathered in the room that he came in and he breathed upon them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They had a little head start to Pentecost. And they received the Holy Spirit. And look what it did for them. Look at the courage that his sort of running scared disciples all of a sudden had to proclaim the name of Jesus boldly out in the streets, knowing that it would cost them their lives. And yet, it was well worth it because Jesus lived in them through his Holy Spirit. And so I went through these months and each day having a problem, you know, just getting up. And I spoke several months ago with a friend who is also a Christian psychologist. And she said, you've been in a massive depression for 3 years. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Look at what he's done for me to make me able to stand up in the morning, to make me able to do what I need to do, hopefully to serve him. Not without difficulty, for sure. But yes, he allows it to happen. He makes it happen. He gives us strength to have it happen. And I bear you my testimony this morning. And it's not my testimony, it's God's testimony. that he takes our impossible days and makes them possible. He takes our strife and our worries and all the things that will drag us into defeat, and he will give us victory. If we love Jesus and obey his command to be obedient in love to the Lord, to make him our first and foremost, to be sold out for Christ, then you have nothing to expect but the work of the Holy Spirit within you and for you. Jesus said, I'm giving you a hard task. I'm giving you a major assignment, and that is to obey me in love throughout your life. But I'm also giving you the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, who will help you do it, and who will give you the strength and the knowledge and the spirit of truth and all that you need to do what you need to do, to live how you need to live for me. It's a simple message this morning, folks, but it's something I think we need to hear once in a while, because the Holy Spirit is active in you and in me. And as Jesus said, the world will not receive him, only those who know the Lord. William Barclay said, we can see only what we are fitted to see. If I stand next to an astronomer, and the astronomer, man or woman, is looking out at the sky and saying, well, this is this person's star and that star and this star, and I won't try to name any of them, but he or she just knows where all the stars are located, where the galaxies, all the things that are out there. And I just stand in awe because I know nothing of that. I said, wow, there are stars out tonight. That's as far as I go. I'm not fitted to see what that person sees. If I stand next to a gardener, you know, a botanist, let's say, and they're showing me all of these plants that they're growing, and never put a plant in my house because just its mere presence there with me kills it immediately. But they'll show me all of the plants that are growing, and I'll say, gee, they all look like green things. But the botanist will tell me every one of those and what their importance is and what their significance is in the realm of plant vegetation. Because that person is fitted to see that, and I am not. And what Barclay is saying is the only people who are fitted to see and to experience and to know and to receive the Holy Spirit are those who have stood next to Jesus, if you will, bowed before Jesus, given their lives to the Lord, those who are sold out to him. And I invite you this morning, if you are not sold out to him, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet, or as your Savior and Lord, please, today is your day. You don't want to go outside anyway. So take a moment here this morning and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Change my life because it isn't what it's supposed to be. And Lord, make me new and lift me up out of the slimy pit and set my feet upon the solid rock and give me a new song to sing, as we hear in Psalm 40. And he will do it. And the moment that you request the presence and the love and the salvation that you find in Jesus Christ, along comes that very special gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Don't lose it. Don't miss it. Don't lose the opportunity. We're never alone. In verse 18, Jesus says that, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you. His promises are real. And even though he is not physically present with us, he has sent us the one who is within us through his Holy Spirit. Move on ahead a little bit because we're out of time. To verse 25, when Jesus said, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid, because he is the Counselor, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He is the Helper, the Encourager, the Ally, the Friend. He is the Advocate. He is everything that you need to have peace in your life, to not be afraid, and to carry on each day with whatever God has for you to do. We're never alone. And it says he will remind you. And that's where conscience comes in. When I'm tempted to do something that I shouldn't do, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm tempted to do it anyway. And that still small voice, that reminder comes to my heart and my mind of Jesus and how I am obeying him in love. And I refrain from doing that thing which would have sent me into sin. That's the Holy Spirit at work in my life. He reminds us of all that Jesus has said, and of all of what's in God's word for us. He reminds us and he teaches us to understand and to know the word of God. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift. And it's crucial for the life of each of us as believers and for our church also, because the Holy Spirit sent from both the Father and Son means that when we experience our Lord, we're experiencing the whole package, the Parakletos, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're experiencing all of the Trinity and all of God when you allow him to work in your life and to guide your life and direct your life. And you will bear your testimony in the power of the Spirit, because that's the only way we have a testimony, is through the Spirit of God. You will bear your testimony in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's very important for us to know, because we want to be a missional church. And that's a church in which its members, in which all of us go out and begin conversations and develop relationships and meet people one-on-one and share our stories and begin to share the Lord with them. And that is useless and worthless unless we are doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he has for us. That's how he allows us to take our testimony out of here and to take it in the world. Without him, I have no testimony. I have no witness. I have nothing to share. Thank you for hanging in there with me this morning. I want to just share a story with you, and not for me, please. But it's a moment that happened many years ago. I've told you this story before, I think. My memory is very good, but it only lasts a couple seconds. So if you've heard it before, after the service, say, "Dave, that was a great story. I never heard that before." And then we'll ask forgiveness for you not telling the truth, and it'll be fine. But we were sent, a bunch of us pastors, when I was pastoring in the Free Methodist denomination, we were sent to Portland, Oregon in the early 90s to go to a church that was doing it right. This church had grown to about 15,000 members, and they were pretty much... their whole strength was in their small groups, and we were all supposed to do that. Now, you have to understand that I, at the time, served a church of about 50 people. I said, "What is this conference going to do for me? You know, my whole church is two small groups for this other church." I said, this is worthless. But I went because, you know, I wanted to go to Portland anyway. But I went to the conference, and It was a great time, but it really didn't speak to anything that I needed to help grow my church at that time. We had sort of a unique situation there. So I'm saying to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here, but I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what this is, you know, why I came. This, maybe I could have spent these few days in a better way." But the Lord knew. The Holy Spirit knew. Because as Chris mentioned earlier, he goes before us. He goes above us, beneath us, behind us. He carries us along. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how we can use our lives to glorify the Lord. And we were on the way back from the conference and went from Portland to Denver and landed there for a little while. And in Denver, we found out that our 747, which was really cool, had problems. So we were getting put into a 727, which means we were going to be crammed in like sardines. And so we did. We all got onto the replacement plane, took off from Denver, and I watched as the flight attendants were just flying up and down the aisles, just running. And there were only a couple of them. And I stopped one of the young ladies and said, "Wait, you know, it looks like you're missing some people." And she said, "Yeah, three people called in sick." And so now we've got double the amount of people we had expected on this plane, and two of us trying to handle all the needs. And this sounds crazy, but this is one of the few times when I listened to the Holy Spirit's voice, and I got up and started bussing trays. I went up to the front of the plane, first class. Never been there before. Went up to first class and just started taking trays. I said, "Are you done?" And if they weren't, I took them anyway. But no, not really. Just took trays and started taking them back to the galley. The neat thing about a 727 is when in level flight, it's actually at quite an angle. So when you drop things, they just roll right back to where they're supposed to be. And a couple of my co-pastors started doing that also in other sections. And we got everybody's food out and back and all the trays back where they belonged. And it was sort of a fun thing. The flight attendant kept trying to give us little bottles of bourbon and stuff. And we said, "No, I don't think so." And she said, "Where are you from?" And we told her that we were pastors that were returning from a conference. Why am I sharing this? Because out of a bunch of very non-flight attendant looking pastors just doing a little menial stuff on this plane, that allowed the flight crew to be done early. And we sat in the back row with the flight attendant and talked to her about the Lord. And somewhere, I guess it was around Pittsburgh, over Pittsburgh, she received Jesus. Conference wasn't worth much to me. The flight was a big pain. But look how the Lord worked that out. That's the Holy Spirit working in lives. Not because of us, not to credit us, not to glorify us, but to glorify God. And all of heaven rejoiced as United Flight, whatever it was, flew over Pittsburgh, and this young lady came to the Lord. Was the flight worth it? Was the trip worth it? Oh, I guess so. I think so. He can do more than we could ever ask or imagine in our lives if we allow him, if we allow him control. If we say, "Yes, Lord, I will obey your commands and love you in obedience, that I might have full access, the full package to your Paracletos, your Holy Spirit, in all the ways he can come and direct and comfort and counsel and guide and come alongside my life." He will do that in your life. He will do that for you and with you. And I want to encourage you this morning that that's going to happen when you allow the Lord to do his thing. When we don't put limits on Jesus. When we don't put limits on the fact that he gave all of himself to us in the person of his blessed Holy Spirit, through God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. We're going to share an amazing song as we close. It's called "Jesus, Be the Center." Be the center of my life, be the center of all that I am, be the center of your church, Lord.